She saw me and lifted her arms around my neck.
Thank you,
she whispered. Drain me, now, I told her. We need you. She placed a shaky hand on my neck, and as red energy swirled around her fingertips, I began to feel weak in the knees. I stabilized myself against the sarcophagus as she continued draining my life force. I started to get lightheaded and was glad when she finally stopped.
Is everyone ready?
Dorian asked, and I heard more shouting down the hall. I think we are, I said. She placed a hand on my shoulder and her other one on Veronique's forehead. She closed her eyes, and nothing happened. What's going on? I asked.
Shit, it's not working, it's...
Veronique looked toward the door we'd busted through. There was no metal around that she could use, but soon there would be men who had metal, in the form of bullets.
I'll hold them off,
she said as she got out of the sarcophagus, nude as the day she was genetically created. Good, I said. I pulled out my smartphone. Dorian and I moved to the far side of the sarcophagus, and I instructed her to sit. I smoothed my hand over her neck and found the port. Once I plugged in, I quickly located her teleportation stats. Main second, teleportation. Telesphere radius, 3. Conscious spatial awareness, 10. Recharge speed, 5. Restoration speed, 6. I'm going to crank up restoration speed as high as I can by turning down recharge speed and telesphere radius, I told her. I heard a burst of gunfire, and then I heard a man cry out as the bullets were reversed and punched through his skull. At least I assumed it was his skull. All I could see was Veronique's naked ass in the doorway, hunched over slightly, but still in control. More gunfire. Dorian looked at me with true fear in her eyes and nodded. Just trust me, I said. And no, she shouldn't have trusted me because I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. But that never stopped someone from trusting an idiot. I decided to crank it all the way up, and in doing so, noticed it wasn't a one-for-one exchange as it had previously appeared to be. Telesphere radius, 1. Conscious spatial awareness, 10. Recharge speed, 1. Restoration speed, 10. A pulsing vein appeared on her forehead.
Gideon,
she said as her face turned red. I had confused restoration speed with recharge speed. Recharge speed was the time it took her to recharge, duh. Restoration speed was the time it took her to reform after teleporting. Fuck! In my haste, I'd gotten the two mixed around in my head. I started making quick adjustments and was able to bring restoration speed way down and recharge speed up. Whoever made these labels did a bad job, I muttered under my breath. Or whoever is messing with them isn't the sharpest spork at McStarbucks, I thought, and saw with relief that her face had lost its redness. Telesphere radius 2, conscious spatial awareness 10, recharge speed 8, restoration speed 2. If I was hoping for a sigh of relief from her, I wasn't going to get it. The pulsing vein remained on Dorian's forehead, and I could tell by touching her skin that she was overheating. I removed the cable and stuck it back in my pocket. You think you're ready? I asked.
I think so,
she said as I helped her up. There was a short break in the gunfire, and I called out to Veronique. She fell to the side, and like a hero I would never be, I actually caught her. Dorian put one hand on my shoulder, the other on Veronique's head. We were gone in a flash.
Chapter 26. A much-needed shower scene. We slowly reappeared back in the hotel room. I don't really know how else to describe it other than that. Our bodies reformed in slow motion. It wasn't exactly painful, but it was weird seeing our heads take shape, and then an arm or two, then a torso or three, followed by each leg. Some Harry Potter shit. Drain more, I told Veronique, who was still in my arms.
I need clothes,
she said. I already thought of that, and... really, I had no idea you'd be kept naked, but we wanted to get some clothes anyway. Dorian exhaled audibly and sat on the floor next to the bed, her knees pulled to her chest.
That was...
The point is, we got out, I said with a sigh.
Clothes,
Veronique repeated. We'll get you dressed in a moment, but first, you should probably drain more of my energy. You look like you're on your last leg. I glanced at Dorian. And I'll mess with your stats in a bit. Are you feeling overheated or anything?
She nodded, the vein pulsing on her forehead.
But it's getting better. I think the change you made created less overcharge. I can't say for certain, but I don't feel as warm as I did back there. Still hot, though.
Yes, you are, I thought, and then felt guilty for such a stupid comeback. Adrenaline probably hit you, too, I told her. One glance down, and I noticed that my hand was shaking. You aren't the only one. Veronique placed her hand on my arm. Instantly, I felt myself losing energy, to the point that I grew sleepy, the edges of my vision blurry. She was draining more than she had drained back at the military facility. I could tell in the time it took me to lay down in Dorian's lap.
Relax, Gideon,
Dorian said, her fingers pressing my eyelids down. My brain sparked and fizzled. On one hand, this was incredibly sexy, and I was still male enough to realize that. On the other hand, I was scared. And then, on the third hand, because who doesn't have three hands, I was so weary, barely able to keep from falling asleep. Veronique suddenly stopped. I blinked my eyes open to see that she was sitting up and touching Dorian's cheek.
Drain me,
Dorian said softly.
It's fine.
Is this the start of a fucking orgy? A quick email exchange happened between my two heads. Dear Gideon Caldwell's dick's brain, I fucking hate you sometimes. She's just trying to be helpful. No, this isn't the start of a threesome. You are a horny idiot. Love, Gideon Caldwell's actual brain. Dear Gideon Caldwell's hypersensitive and overly concerned snowflake brain, why do you always let your moral pedantry get in the way of me and vaginas? This could totally turn into a vampiric orgy with teleportation highlights if you just calm the fuck down. Stop overanalyzing and let the heavy petting begin. Touch me again, Veronique. There's energy left down here. Kind regards, Gideon Caldwell's dick's brain.
What's going on?
Veronique said as she removed her hand from Dorian's cheek. She glanced down at the tent I was pitching. Dorian caught wind of it, too.
Looks like there's still some energy there.
Don't. It's nothing. Dicks have minds of their own, as do most world leaders. Sorry, that doesn't make any sense. But really, just keep doing what you do. Please, don't kill me. Veronique placed her hand on my member and laughed.
I guess I haven't drained you enough.
Apparently not, I said. I tried to stand, but my knees buckled and I fell forward, which hurt like a bitch when I cracked my boner on the floor. Shit! Don't mind me, I mumbled as Dorian helped me up.
Just relax, Gideon,
she said.
You've done enough for tonight.
What about you? Are you overheating? She sighed.
I think I'll be fine.
No, just let me handle that first. Weak as I was, and partially guided by Veronique's helping hand while ignoring my raging hard-on, I plugged into Dorian and adjusted her teleportation recharge speed down so it looked like Telesphere Radius 3, Conscious Spatial Awareness 10, Speed 5, Restoration Speed 6. I checked to make sure her overcharge had also gone down, but I really didn't need to. As soon as I dialed the speed down, her face lightened and she started to breathe more easily.
Now relax,
she said as she helped me to the bed. I'm pretty sure they ended up watching more fucking Home and Garden shows after that. Then again, there's no telling. I was out. Fade to black. Literally. It only took another second of Veronique's touch to completely put me out. I was trapped in utter blackness, swimming through an endless pool of dark crimson. My mind moving forward toward a bright light. The light seemed so familiar, so warm, so real. As I swam closer to it, I watched it begin to change into grace, starting with her long blonde hair and quickly forming her face and voluptuous, soft features. Grace! I called out to it, but I was too late. It was now too far away. Something was pulling me backward, deeper into the cool water. I awoke in a cold sweat. It was morning now, and I was lying on the bed between Dorian and Veronique, both of whom were cuddling me in some way. Veronique had put on the Willie Nelson shirt and a pair of panties. Dorian was in her thong and black bra, tattoos covering her arms. Rather than have another heated epistolary exchange with my little trouser snake, I slipped out of bed and lugged my ass to the bathroom to drain the lizard. After I finished, I looked at myself in the mirror and saw I was a little worse for wear. My beard was unkempt, the scar on my face had started to darken, and my hair was thickening as it grew out. Worse for wear? Shit, I looked hard as fuck, but it felt like I'd been hit by an 18-wheeler. After a couple of poses, just to see if I'd grown any more muscle, I hadn't, I decided to take a shower. The water took a moment to warm, but it eventually got there, and I was able to ignore the lump of hair sitting where the soap should be. Shitty, seedy motel. Damn, did the water feel good on my sore muscles, though. Once it got to the point where it was too hot and my skin had turned pink, I took a step away and just relaxed in the steam for a moment. I actually heard the door open this time, and sure enough, it was Veronique.
"We meet again in the bathroom,"
she said, taking off the shirt and panties. "It seems to be the place for us to meet." She stepped into the shower and kissed me. She kissed me again and again, and I was definitely into it. But I could also tell that, well, I don't think she'd ever kissed someone before. Grace hadn't been the same, likely because she'd read my mind on how to kiss. Not that I was an expert or anything, but I'd had my fair share of makeout sessions in high school. So I let Veronique experiment on her kisses for a while to get used to it. Eventually, she turned around and bent over, beckoning me forward. I shouldn't have had enough energy for an erection, but there was a time and place for everything. And this was the time and place for me to swallow the fact that I'd been drained pretty hard last night, I was hungry, and to forcibly send all my energy toward my nether regions. Not that I needed to do much begging. My member had already grown to full size. I approached her, my hands on the shower wall and water spraying off my back. It wasn't too hard to slip in. She was incredibly tight, but the water and the fact our juices were flowing soon made things a little easier. She looked at me over her shoulder, her hair partially covering her face as she got into her rhythm.
"Get in,"
she whispered, and even though the shower was beating down upon our bodies, my ears were completely tuned into her words.
"Get in,"
she whispered again.
"Get in."
I just kept going, trying my damnedest not to come too soon. I got the sudden feeling, like I had with Grace in the past, that this would be the last time I had sex. This thought only inspired me to get more into the motion, grunting as I went at it best I could, forgetting all the things that were out to get me. She raised one leg and placed it on the side of the tub to stabilize herself. It was then that I noticed the door had cracked open, Dorian standing on the other side. I blinked as she stepped into the bathroom, nude from the waist down. If Veronique cared, she didn't show it. In fact, she became more aggressive when Dorian entered. "Thank you, God," I thought as Veronique turned to me and wrapped her arms around my neck. She climbed up onto me and I leaned against the bathtub wall for leverage, aware that one false step and I would crack my ass pretty hard. I don't know where I got the strength for it, but I definitely wasn't going to let her down now. Once we were in a steady position, she lowered herself onto the luckiest dick this side of Richard Branson and started going at it again. Meanwhile, Dorian closed the toilet lid and sat on top, her legs spreading wide until one knee pressed against the sink and the other against the side wall. She made eye contact with me as she started fingering herself. It wouldn't be long now. I should be considered a superhero for how long I'd already lasted with all this going on. And to think there were some people out there who encountered these things in their normal life. I'd never met a swinger. Well, no one had ever introduced themselves to me as a swinger, but I imagined this was what life as a swinger would be like. Except the women wouldn't be as hot. As much as I kept trying to tell myself to shut down my inner monologue and enjoy the moment, my inner monologue was the only thing keeping me from blowing the top off my penis. The more I rambled in my head, the easier it was not to blast off into outer space. With Dorian in front of me, touching herself and moaning, and my arms growing tired and sore from holding Veronique, something had to give. So I set Veronique back down, turned her against the wall, and started up again. keeping my eyes closed this time so I could concentrate. But my eyes didn't want to stay shut. They wanted to watch Dorian, so that's what they did. Now, three parts of my body had minds of their own. My brain, my eyes, and my dick. And all were screaming for me to come. And as Dorian moaned and Veronique found the perfect groove, I couldn't take it anymore.
Damn you, male orgasm!
I was done in a matter of seconds, finished, ready to jump off a cliff if someone presented one to me, and just as I was about to pull out, Veronique's pussy clenched around my penis, draining me even more. My legs got weak, my arms started to shake. Veronique was orgasming and draining my life force. The metal of the towel holder bending in her direction, the sink's faucet starting to rattle. She came and released me. I fell backward and just barely stopped from cracking my ass open. Dorian started to laugh, still lightly touching herself. I started laughing as well, and as Veronique turned back to me, I saw that she too had a crooked grin on her face. Boy, were we all fucked in the head. Chapter 27. Ken Kim calls again. The shower to end all showers? Maybe. I hadn't expected Dorian to join in the fun, even if her fun only meant she was watching and touching herself, but that was what happened. And now that the three of us had that out of our system, it was time to get down to business. Once we got Grace, I'd have a full-blown harem going, and there was nothing society could do to stop me. Society isn't trying to stop you. Besides, you could just move to Utah, my inner voice said. And what about Grace? Isn't it an insult to her to do what you've just done? I'm going to save her, possibly today, I told the bitchy retrospective Gideon. Damn you and your societal norms, and don't you dare tell me to move to Utah! The voice didn't reprimand me after that. As I put my clothes on, a feeling of intense hunger came over me. I checked my smartphone to find the nearest place to grab a bite. Curiosity led me to my email inbox, and while Dorian and Veronique got dressed, I started reading through my messages. A rep from eBamazon had contacted me, asking if they could speak to me more about my first two Mutants in the Making books. They wanted to feature the first book in a deal that would go out to their incredibly large mailing list of readers. They also wanted to republish everything once I got a third installment out. Republish everything? I nearly did a backflip. My first instinct, rather than run around the room high-fiving and slapping asses, was to message Luke. And I would have done just that if I hadn't seen an email from Dr. Ken Kim. Gideon, please email me your phone number. I know about what happened over the last 2 days. We need to talk. I can help. Ken Kim. I considered the message for a moment.
What's up?
Veronique asked and moved to sit next to me. Her face was still a bit red and her eyes were still incredibly dark, even though there was something soft behind them that I hadn't seen before. Ken Kim. He wants me to call him. Dorian and Veronique exchanged glances.
He's still contacting you?
For the last several days. He's even given me a code to put in your systems, yours and Grace's, if you remember correctly. But I just don't know if I can trust him.
Well, you bought the prepaid phones,
Dorian said, referring to the phones Abuela had ordered for us. I did. Fine. Let's have breakfast, then call him. But let's go somewhere like 30 minutes away or something, just in case we're being tracked.
Teleportation?
Dorian asked. I thought about it, then shook my head. Nah, let's use Diego's services again. Keep things low profile for now. We'll see what Ken has to say. I put the longhorn cap on and stood. Also, I need to give Diego his hat back. After I set up the prepaid phone and made sure it had a charge, the three of us went downstairs. The abuela at the front desk didn't say anything about the fact that Veronique had joined us, despite never seeing her come through the front door last night.
Mijo,
she called to her grandson.
I think they need a taxi.
Diego came out of the back room, towering and intimidating as ever. He nodded when he saw Veronique. She returned his gaze with just about the coldest look possible, and he glanced away.
Where to?
He asked me. A breakfast restaurant. Maybe a diner? Only stipulation is that it needs to be somewhere not here.
Not here?
I mean, somewhere else in the city. Not in the vicinity of the hotel. He looked at his abuela.
Take him to the gyms in Oak Hill,
she said with pure grandmotherly finality.
Your tia used to work there.
And so we went to the gyms in Oak Hill, wherever the hell that was. It took about 20 minutes, going from South Congress to 71 to a suburban nook surrounded by rocky cliffs, oak trees, and a complex traffic grid. The gyms was smack dab in the middle of the shopping center, near a gym. Yep, gyms near a gym. And across the road from a mixed Starbucks. Diego waited outside as we went in and got seated. We ordered. Pancakes, sausage, and gravy for me, the same for Dorian, and each of us had a coffee. My phone buzzed. It was Luke. Luke, are you alive? Me. Barely. I'll be frank. Our little MC was taken hostage by government forces, put in a military jail, rescued by a teleporting hottie, and nursed back to health with Mexican food. Luke. Damn, I could use some Mexican food. Wait, did you say put in a military jail? Me. FML. The MC then teamed up with the teleporter to rescue the vampire. The following morning, he hooked up in the shower with the vampire while the teleporter watched. Now he's eating pancakes. Luke. LOL. This is the best message I've read all year. Me. Please do not share this with anyone. Luke. You got it. Just let me take a mental screenshot. Sometimes I would hate to be you. Other times I'd trade my left nut. Me. You keep your damn left nut because you don't want to be me. Trust me there. Luke. But back to the military jail. Tell me about that. Me. They attacked us. We were captured. They put me in jail and attempted to interrogate me. It was terrible. I don't want to relive it. Luke. Okay, then. Tell me about the almost threesome. Me. It started when I took a shower. Vampire came in, teleporter came in after. I don't understand my life. It wasn't a threesome, but two of us had sex while the third rubbed one out. Luke. I thought rubbed one out was just for guys, no? Me. Yep, women can do it too, apparently. Luke. I've seen videos of that. Me. Stop trying to cheer me up with your humor because it's working. Luke. LOL. Your life is the stuff of legends, man. So what's next? Where's the psychic? Me. Still need to rescue the psychic. I'll update you later. I don't know how this is going to go down just yet. Luke. Well, shit. Stay safe. Me. Also, Ebamazon contacted me. They want me to write another novella so they can publish all three into a full book. Luke. Wow, that's great news. Me. It is. Shit pancakes are here. I'll hit you back when I know more. Luke. Shit pancakes? Is that an American thing? Me. Shit, comma, pancakes are here. Luke. Hey man, whatever you're into, no judgment. Hashtag grammar Nazi. I cracked a grin at my phone. If I were British, I would call Luke a cheeky bastard. Dorian didn't finish her pancakes, so I finished them for her. We had another cup of coffee, the three of us discussing a number of things, mostly centered around what they knew about Ken Kim, which wasn't much, and what Veronique had experienced once they took her. I also told her what I'd gone through, and for once I saw true concern in her eyes. But back to what happened to you. What was that vat they had you in? A sarcophagus? Maybe that's what I should call it.
I don't know,
she said, finishing off her third cup of coffee. Well, I'll just have to figure that one out. Or not. Who knows? I paid the bill and we stepped outside. Dorian and Veronique formed a small perimeter around me. They were on edge, Veronique more than Dorian. I motioned to Diego, who was still waiting in his car, that we'd be a moment. Time to call Ken, I said. I had already sent Ken Kim my phone number back in the restaurant, and I figured it wouldn't take him long to respond. I was right. My throwaway phone rang a few minutes later.
Gideon.
Ken.
Okay,
he said cautiously.
I don't know how you've managed to do it twice, but kudos. Really. And now the tough part begins.
Do it?
Escaped. I mean, you were in a high-security military prison that was set up at Camp Mabry just to house you and the other supers.
I smirked at the ground. It was already hot in Austin, and the sun was glaring down on us. I got lucky, I finally told him.
I can't believe Dorian Gray flipped. I've been reading the inside report.
How do you have access to that, Ken? I asked, sitting on the curb. I need you to be honest with me because what you say next will decide if I ever speak to you again.
Look, I know you're suspicious. I get that.
More than suspicious, I said. I pulled the phone away from my ear and put him on speaker so Dorian and Veronique could hear.
Okay, more than suspicious, fine. But I'm on your side. I want you to succeed. I want them to be defeated. The fuckers.
Dorian and Veronique glanced at each other when he said this. I couldn't tell if they bought it or not, but I certainly didn't. Tell me every reason why you're helping me. Get on your fucking soapbox and dance, Ken. I watched Veronique as a small smirk formed on her face, lifting her sharp features. Well? I asked after Ken had been silent for a moment.
Look, I'm a coordinator of the program. Senior coordinator in charge of subjects and their well-being. That's why I met with Sabine so frequently. And yes, I know the person you have referred to as Mother. And to be honest...
He paused.
I'm a dead man. Once she sees me in person again, she'll know what I've done. I can hide in New Haven, but I can't hide once we actually meet. So I'm trying to get out before she comes back. Point is, I want to help. What's so bad about that?
There's nothing bad about that, but how can I trust you?
I've seen shit that I can't... The things they did to other subjects. The decommissioned ones. And there are more that will be coming for you soon. Mark my word.
I stared at the phone for a minute. They hadn't actually sent many after us, just Angel and Dorian, which was odd. Why are they holding back?
They haven't been authorized to leave yet, but they're coming.
Ken said, not quite answering my question.
I want you to know everything I know. Fuck, I'll say it. I loved Sabine just as much as Bobby did. That's the goddamn truth. I want her to succeed, to have some semblance of a life, dammit.
So, it's about Grace, then, I thought.
You've done something I don't have the balls to do, Gideon. You're my fucking hero.
Dorian looked at me and raised an eyebrow. I shrugged and gave her the I'm nobody's hero look.
You've risked it all for a few people you barely know,
Ken blurted out.
I wish I had your courage.
It's not courage as much as it is utter stupidity, I said. Mixed in with bouts of misguided horniness, I thought. Might as well be real about it. Grace, Veronique, and now Dorian had changed me. They'd brought me incredible success, opened up realms of possibility I never thought possible, and given me a life aside from a failed sci-fi writer working at a gift shop. They'd become my companions.
Well, you asked, and I'm answering. So that's who I am. And it's why I'm trying to help. Did you activate the code yet?
I shook my head at the phone. No. You never told me what it did, and I was afraid it would turn on GPS tracking or whatever. So I figured it was a bad idea. Plus, I forgot the code.
Grace would be with you now if you had activated it. And I'll send the code in an email.
What do you mean she'd be with me now?
For Sabine, the code unlocks an ability to make people's nightmares become reality. Let me rephrase. She can dip into someone's mind, take the thing they fear the most, and make them see it. It's an incredible power, and she could have... Fuck! She could have taken down Angel with that.
Did you know Angel has sex with Mother? I said. A real motherfucker. Dorian and Veronique snickered. I placed my hand over the receiver and told them I'd explain later.
I had a suspicion they were having relations.
Sorry, it was irrelevant to our conversation, but I thought you should know. I cleared my throat. What does the code do for Veronique?
Have you noticed that Veronique can only use her body metal consumption ability if she can physically touch someone?
I thought about last night, and, well, parts of this morning. Go on, I finally said.
Activating the code allows her to use her ability at a distance of up to 20 feet.
She can absorb long distance?
She can indeed. And it's a game changer. She used to be able to before they took the power away from her. It stopped her opponents before they even met her.
I looked up at Veronique and saw her nod. Even though we'd had sex now and continued to grow closer, I still feared her. I don't know what it was. Maybe the fact that she could kill me at any time. Then again, so could Dorian. But Dorian didn't have that vibe. Odd to think of it that way, but Dorian was just less threatening. Maybe it really was the fact that I equated Veronique with a vampire in my mind. Maybe what I really needed was to redefine her.
What?
She asked, her eyes narrowing at me. This brings me to my other dilemma, Ken. What do you know about Dorian's teleportation ability? It's causing her to overheat. For someone who teleports, she can't do it very efficiently without having issues. I played with the dials a little bit, but I think that made it even worse.
I know exactly what it is. It was a stop measure put in place to prevent her from constantly relying on teleportation.
I heard some clicking in the background as Dr. Kim typed on something.
Yep, that's what it is. They had these functions from her main stat folders. Like I said, the point was to prevent her from relying too heavily on it, so she could enhance her energy-wielding ability. I guess they never switched it back. You can do it if you have a cable with you right now.
I always carried the USB cable now. It was small enough to fit in my pocket, and I never knew when I would need one.
I'll send screenshots of how you get to the file location. The thing is, these drives and their necks can be a little wonky. It's a terrible interface. I mean, scrolling through folders to open shadow boxes with dials, really? But the screenshots should help, especially since you'll have to find the folder in the picture I'm sending you. Go to Options, set All Options as Visible, and once you've done this, backtrack to a different folder to re-add her full teleportation abilities to her main system. This will also require a reboot.
Seriously?
The reboot will only take a matter of moments, but have her sit down when you do it. Did you get the email?
I tapped my screen and saw that I had indeed received a message from Dr. Kim with screenshots. I've got it.
Great. That should really change the game for her.
Thanks for your help, Ken, I said, and started to hang up.
Wait! More info for you. They're moving Sabine tomorrow morning to California, and they know you'll be coming for her. So, if that is your plan, well, you need an actual plan. I mean, I'm all for you doing this, and I hope to God you get out of it alive and that you can get her out of there. Poor Sabine. But you need a real plan, because Angel and Mother will be there.
They're moving her tomorrow? Shit. I thought for a moment. Do you happen to have any more info about how they're holding her? You said it was a makeshift installation? Ken hesitated.
I believe I can get more information. If I can, I'll forward it to you. Good luck, Gideon. And don't be a stranger. I don't know how much longer I'll be able to aid you, but until they catch me, I'm here to help.
Thanks, Ken. I look forward to your email. As soon as he hung up, I popped the back off the phone and took the battery out. I threw the battery in the bushes in front of the restaurant and tossed the phone itself into a trash can. Better safe than sorry. Ready to have your stats adjusted a little bit? I asked Dorian.
Here?
I took a look around the parking lot. Yeah, maybe you're right. This isn't the best place for that. Let's get our supplies first, and then we'll mess with it after. Also, there's a video I need to show you. Chapter 28, A Texas Gun Show. Our next stop was the hardware store. We were lucky that the one in South Austin was near several retail outlets. As Diego waited for us in the parking lot, to the tune of $25 an hour, mind you, we hit the retail store called Marshall's TJ Ross Max, which was a terrible name that most people just called MTJ Rossum, after an advertising campaign in 2023. Damn it, I did not want to be having deja vu right now, but I couldn't help but recall our situation with Chip Parker in New Haven, how he had gone around gathering supplies for us. I hated narratives that did this repetitive stuff, but what was I supposed to do? Grace needed rescuing, and I was the one that would rescue her, hook, line, and sinker. It wasn't like this was a book. Well, yet. Or, should I say, they were going to do the rescuing. Not that I wasn't going to help. It wasn't my intention this time to sit back and idly watch things play out. I wanted to get involved, even if it meant I may get hurt. After checking out the clearance aisle for some goddamn reason, we bought 2 backpacks and 3 fanny packs. I chose a larger backpack, and Dorian chose a much smaller one, almost like a preschooler's backpack, but made specifically for women to look cute while wearing it. I never really understood women's fashion, and I probably never would. But she did look cute with it on, so let's leave it at that. We went to the men's section next and got as many XXL black t-shirts as we could find, 13 in total. Lucky us. A few of them were even on sale. Once we made our purchases, we went to the home improvement store. Dorian led the way as Veronique and I hung back a few steps. It was hot outside, and even though we only had to walk a few stores down, I'd already worked up a sweat by the time we reached the store. We entered and were greeted by a friendly Texas woman with a southern drawl.
Welcome! Now y'all let me know if you have any questions.
Thanks, I told her as we passed by. Damn, were these home improvement stores intimidating. The rows of tall aisles only made me feel like a very small man. But I wasn't here to build a wall between Texas and Mexico. I was here for IED equipment. I didn't know much about building things, unless it came with instructions from IKEA, but I did have a fair idea about what we could use to make frag pouches. So, that's what we went for. We purchased several dozen packs of nails, all the circular saw blades under 7 inches in diameter, countless nuts and bolts, 3 pairs of shears, and bundles of thumbtacks. No, I didn't take an IED 101 crash course from the latest extremist group out of Baghdad. I simply wanted to provide things Veronique could work with. I wanted to be part of what was going to happen. I also wanted to test something we hadn't tested before. I had asked Dorian if she could charge objects, and she said she couldn't. But I wondered what would happen if she licked her paintbrush and charged them that way. Or, perhaps, licked the object itself. It was worth a shot. Once we had our items, we asked Diego to drive us to an open field. We got out and took a walk, realizing that we weren't actually in an open field, but more likely the outskirts of a golf course. Didn't matter. It would still work. As gnats and mosquitoes buzzed around me, I took out some of the nails and handed them to Dorian. Let's try something. She understood what I meant almost instantly.
Should I lick them?
Do you mean you really never tried this before?
No, honestly, I've always just used my finger or a paintbrush.
She popped her finger into her mouth to demonstrate what she meant.
Sounds stupid, but I didn't really want to lick random objects.
She scrunched up her face in disgust. I laughed. Yeah, I didn't think about that part. In that case, lick your finger, lift a nail, and see if you can charge it. I'm envisioning something like Gambit here.
Gambit?
Veronique asked. She was on my other side, keeping an eye out to make sure someone wasn't coming for us. I wanted to tell her to relax a little, but it was better that she was at least prepared, because God knows I wasn't. Sorry, disregard the reference. It's not even a good reference, to be honest, because she's neither from Louisiana nor a dashingly handsome superhero. Beautiful, of course, you're beautiful, Dorian, but Gambit was handsome. Sorry, sidetracked. Let's try this. I gestured to an oak tree. See if you can hit that. Dorian licked her finger and thumb and picked up one of the nails from my hand. As soon as she touched the nail, it began to turn pink and boil with energy. She pulled her arm back and brought it forward, flinging the nail at the tree. Whoa, I said, clapping my hands together after it slammed into the trunk like a bullet, spraying out chips of wood. Oh, shit, yeah, try this. I took one of the circular saw blades out of its packaging. The blade was about 3 inches in diameter, and as I handed it to Dorian, she licked her finger and took it from me. The foliage in the top branches shifted when the saw passed straight through the oak tree. The top of the tree fell, crashing to the ground. Even though there wasn't anyone around, I glanced about, just to be sure no one was watching us take down trees in Austin. Based on what I knew about the city, I had a feeling the people here wouldn't like it.
Let me try,
Veronique said. I gave her one of the small saw blades, and it began to fold once it was in her hand, almost as if I had handed her a pancake. It straightened immediately, and she pulled her arm back, then let it go, spreading her fingers wide as she did, forcing the saw blade further. Veronique's saw cut through two trees. Now we had even more branches and foliage on the ground.
"This is a good idea,"
she said. We needed something we could use against them. And since I don't know how to use a gun and don't have time to learn how in order to go up against Mercsecure, this is our next best solution. Also, we need bulletproof vests. All of us. I got out my smartphone and did a little searching. It was Texas. Guns practically sprouted out of the ground here, even if the state was in a perpetual drought. And, sure enough, I found a gun show taking place this weekend. Only an hour away, I told them. Now that I had my phone out, I remembered the message Ken Kim had sent. I found a large rock and asked Dorian to sit so I could plug into her port. She did, and Veronique scooted in next to her, which seemed like kind of a strange place to sit considering the size of the rock. But I was beyond asking questions about these two, especially after what happened this morning. Best morning of my life? Without a doubt. But that's not what mattered at the moment. I needed to plug in and follow the directions Dr. Kim had given me. This turned out to be a pain in the ass because I only had one smartphone, so I had to keep minimizing the screen and going back and forth between the different windows. Damn you, technology. How I love you so. It took me a bit longer, but I followed his instructions and then rebooted Dorian's system, reminding her just to relax while I did so.
"That was strange,"
she said, taking a deep breath. As we waited for the reboot, bees and hummingbirds zoomed in the air around us. There was a sprinkling of flowers in the grass, and I watched a particularly chubby bee collide with one of them, nearly knocking it to the ground. Fucking fat-ass bee. Once Dorian's drive was back up and running, I went to her teleportation abilities folder and the shadow box with dials opened. Main second, teleportation. Telesphere radius, 3. Conscious spatial awareness, 10. Recharge speed, 5. Restoration speed, 6. Teleportation rapidity, 1. Teleportation distance, 10. Empathetic teleportation, 5. Banishment, 1. Overcharge, 8.
"Hell yeah, everybody," I said.
I started reading what the additional abilities allowed for. Teleportation rapidity increased the speed in which she could teleport over short distances, usually covering 100 yards or so. Empathetic teleportation allowed her to teleport to someone she has strong feelings for, which I assumed meant someone familiar to her.
That's helpful.
I checked what banishment did. By placing my finger over the listing, I saw that it allowed her to touch someone and teleport them away to a place she'd visited recently.
That's badass.
I quickly turned overcharge down. The only reason I could figure they'd put that on her dials was as a type of governor and to handicap her if necessary. Still, I had to be careful not to trigger it. With a few adjustments, I had her teleportation ability rearranged in a way I thought would work best. Telesphere radius, 3. Conscious spatial awareness, 10. Recharge speed, 5. Restoration speed, 6. Teleportation rapidity, 7. Teleportation distance, 10. Empathetic teleportation, 6. Banishment, 3. Overcharge, 1. The added options really allowed for customization. I wasn't able to bring overcharge lower than 1, nor was I able to modify teleportation distance. I could see, by touching its dial, that she could move upwards of 2,000 kilometers at a time, or roughly 1,300 miles. Not bad at all. If I kept Dorian around, I'd never have to get groped by TSA agents again. "You feeling all right?" I asked her. She nodded.
"I feel pretty good."
"Now it's time for you to see what you could be capable of." I unhooked the cable from her neck and went to Twitch Tube Red. I knew the exact scene I wanted to show her, and while the movie X2 had been released 3 years before I was born, it still held up. I remembered watching it as a kid and being pretty impressed. I typed Nightcrawler White House scene in the search box and the scene came up. Again, damn me for having no other reference point for people using superpowers, but sometimes you have to stick with what you know. This is what you can do now. I told her as I started the 3-minute clip. And I don't mean kill the president, because that's what he's trying to do here. I mean, just watch. One of Dorian's eyebrows raised, which caught Veronique's attention, who moved closer to watch the clip as well.
The blue creature should have stabbed him,
Veronique said after the nightcrawler scene ended.
It seems useful to have a tail, though.
Do you see what I'm suggesting here? I asked Dorian. She disappeared in a flash, reappeared 15 feet away, her paintbrush in her mouth, flashed again, reformed alongside a fireball made of energy that slammed into a tree as she zipped away, and materialized next to a tree stump, touched it, freaking exploded it, and disappeared again, finally reforming behind me.
That was so awesome,
she said between gulps of air.
It's like running almost, a little different. I don't know how to explain it. That's going to be very helpful,
Veronique said. Do you feel like you're overheating? I asked.
Not in the least bit.
Try again. Go for longer this time and see how it goes. Dorian jumped forward and poof, she was at it again. She bounced back and forth, her form taking shape and disappearing, leaving a cascade of brief afterimages each time she flashed away. It took her a moment to really find a groove, charging things, using trees and rocks as targets, and her paintbrush to paint objects into existence. Thank you, Dr. Kim, I thought when she finished.
Where to now?
Diego asked. Dripping Springs. We need to go to a gun show there.
Damn. You're a crazy white boy, you know that?
I fucking know it. The drive to Dripping Springs was uneventful. As we'd done on our way to the breakfast restaurant, I sat in the front, the two superpowers in the back. Mostly, I just stared out at the open road, at the beautiful wasteland between hubs of civilization in Texas. It was quite different from Connecticut. Most of the cities in my state were separated by trees and rocky cliffs where gray skies often hovered, signaling rain to come or rain that had recently passed. Texas cities were separated by large swaths of parched land, land peppered with dying shrubs, the occasional tree, and a constant blue sky overhead that seemed as endless as it was foreboding. Most of Connecticut had unrestricted access along highways, whereas Texas had barbed wire that screamed of autonomy and anti-government sentiment, which got me thinking of my favorite quote from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. The government of today has no right to tell us how to live our lives because the government from 200 years ago already did. Ha! What a quote. We arrived in Dripping Springs, drove past a couple churches and a Dairy Queen, waited at a traffic light behind a big dually truck with chrome exhaust, and found the gun show at the convention center. Keep an eye on everyone, I told Veronique as we got out of the car. There's no telling who we'll encounter. On second thought, just be cautious. Don't use your powers in here. There will be tons of metal. Dorian, be ready to teleport us out just in case something happens. Dorian nodded. She wore her long-sleeve ribbed sweater, which perfectly accented the contours of her body. I could see her paintbrush sticking out of her pocket, almost as if it were a wand. I had an idea of what to expect once we got inside, and I was not disappointed. The first booth we ran into was an NRA table with bikini-clad women taking sign-ups. Their bikinis were, of course, made of fabric that looked like the American flag, and each of them had a pink AR-15 across their backs. It was awesomely bizarre, sexy in a female Rambo way. Damn, those Lady Rambo movies of the early 2020s were the shit. That was the first time I saw Natalie Johansson, back before she was a household name.
Where are we going?
Dorian asked. Sorry, I was having a flashback.
Do you normally announce that to people? He does,
Veronique said. We continued our way through a diverse crowd of mostly men, many of whom took second glances at Dorian and Veronique. I couldn't blame them there. Aside from the bikini-clad gun hawkers at the front, there really weren't many hot ladies here. Focus, I had to remind myself as we waded through booth after booth of death instruments. Everything from a handgun to a grenade launcher was present, and one guy had every grenade that had ever been used by U.S. forces cut in half and displayed, showing their inner workings. Anyone have good body armor? I finally asked a man in a leather vest with skin the color of a maple leaf in late October. He squinted at me for a moment, as he scratched the mole on the side of his nostril, glanced from Dorian to Veronique, and then used his chin to nod me toward the booth next to him.
"Nick got the best stuff,"
he said in a gruff Texas voice.
"Custom shit, too. Stuff for your ladies. Fits the curves of a woman. Not being no sexist here. Just saying they have curves. Even them thin ones like you two."
He started cackling.
"Boy, you don't see many folks from Austin out here gun shopping, but I'm glad to see it."
"Thanks," I said as we turned to the next booth.
"Wait a dang minute now. You can't just stop at my booth without taking a look. I got all sorts of exotic shit,"
Maple Leaf Man said.
"After you,"
he told Veronique, extending his hand to her. I gulped as she took his hand. "Don't do it," I thought to her, and as if she were as psychic as Grace, Veronique looked at me with a wolfish grin on her face. I was pleasantly surprised when I entered his booth to find vintage guns and martial arts weapons. The centerpiece of the booth was a golden dragon above a wood statue of a naked woman holding a katana.
"See here, I got myself a Japanese wife,"
he said.
"Two, actually. Well, divorced the first. But the second missus is still with me. Imagine that, old country guy like myself. Can't help but love an Asian woman. No offense to you two, but they just get the job done for me."
Veronique picked up a throwing star and showed it to me. "How many throwing stars do you have?" I asked him.
"How many? Well, I got nicer ones than that. That's just one for kiddos. Edges ain't too sharp. Those are $5 a piece, and I got me about 20.
"We'll take them," I said, pulling out a Benjamin. He chuckled as he filled a bag with the throwing stars and handed it to me.
"Shit. If you want that, maybe I can interest one of your pretty ladies in a katana."
I exchanged glances with Dorian and Veronique. Dorian shrugged. "I think we're good," I said, and we moved on to the next booth. The body armor guy was pretty chill, and he let us look around without trying to sell anything. I found a ballistic helmet for myself, gotta protect the moneymaker, and a light bulletproof vest.
"That's the best I have right there,"
armor guy finally said as I took the gear over to him. "I also need vests for them, helmets too." The man had salt and pepper hair, wore a plaid shirt, and an Iraqi war vet hat. As he moved over to a rack of body armor, I saw that one of his legs had been replaced.
"These are some of the best vests available, used by Israeli forces and designed to give breathability, which is important if you're moving frequently. Range of motion and provide the protection you need. It's comfortable and lightweight. Form-fitting, too."
He handed Veronique the first vest and pointed out armor specs as she started to put it on.
"Interior front and back padded zonal panels, oversized air channels, holds 10x12 and 8x10 plate sizes, but I've got the 10x12s in this model. Along the right side, you'll find a one-hand quick-release escape system. And let's see, what else can I tell you? It's the best on the market, plain and simple."
How anyone could look sexy in body armor was beyond me, but Veronique pulled it off. And Dorian soon would as well when she tried on her own model, which was larger than Veronique's due to her bust size.
"I also have it in desert camo, if that's what you're looking for."
"Black will work," I told him and got out my roll of cash. "And helmets for them." He raised an eyebrow. "We're shooting a movie in San Antonio. Our prop guy didn't get the right stuff, so the director sent me out to pick this stuff up. The actresses, I said, nodding at Dorian and Veronique, wanted to come along because they'd never been to a gun show." He laughed.
"Yep. I thought there was something interesting about y'all. I bet Hollywood types don't get out to too many Texas gun shows. What are your names? Been in any movies I've heard of?"
he asked, pulling out his smartphone to use the calculator.
"Veronique Caldwell,"
said Veronique. I gulped.
"Dorian Gideon,"
said Dorian with a flirty smile.
"But people call me Grace."
"Grace and Veronique,"
Armor Man chuckled again.
Poor, if that doesn't sound like trouble.
I smiled. If only you knew. What's our total? He showed me his calculator, and then added a 10% off discount. We were down another $1,200 or so, but it was necessary. I counted out the cash and handed it over.
You need anything else?
He asked. Not unless you have some EMP weapons.
Damn.
He snapped his fingers.
All sold out.
Could we wear this stuff out, or would that be too much?
Hell no. It wouldn't be too much. You're at a gun show. Half the people in here have body armor, and the other half are carrying heat. Not me. I only sell armor, not guns. Guns make me twitchy. But I like the culture, and a gun show is a damn good place to sell body armor.
Great. Thanks again. I waved to him, and we left his booth. Dorian and Veronique in their armor, with their helmets tucked under their arms. Chapter 29. Grand Theft Auto ATX. We arrived back at the motel, and I paid for another night. Diego hadn't said anything about the girls wearing body armor, and aside from commenting that he was ready for a beer, he was quiet most of the ride back to the motel. Once we were in our room, I laid out the supplies on the bed and got to work. After admiring themselves in the bathroom mirror, Dorian and Veronique took off their vests and joined me where I knelt at the foot of the bed as I worked. If either of them sensed I was thinking about their proximity, they didn't let on. Instead, they began cutting the black t-shirts into squares of fabric and placing thumbtacks, nuts, bolts, and nails inside, before twisting the ends together and tying a knot. I wanted to make weapons I could throw and Veronique could then wield, as well as weapons Dorian could quickly charge and toss. Each pouch was about the size of a golf ball, and by the time we finished using all the fabric, we had at least 100 of the little pouches. We stuffed them in our backpacks and fanny packs. Veronique put the smaller circular saws in her fanny pack, and Dorian kept the larger ones in her backpack. They had other ways they could take someone down, but this gave them something extra to wield. Which reminded me. I checked my email to find that Dr. Ken Kim had sent me the code again as promised, with instructions on how to activate it. You ready to try? I asked Veronique. I indicated what I meant by placing my finger on my neck.
Sure,
she said as she lay down on the bed. I found the USB cable and got my smartphone ready. I needed to charge it, especially because of what was going down tonight, and I figured having an extra phone for communication purposes would help, too. Dorian, will you plug in the other phone? I asked. She plugged it in and walked over to the picture she had been slowly burning into the wall. It was a stunning piece, a Tibetan mandala if I'd ever seen one. To get started again, she lightly touched the tip of her paintbrush against her tongue. I could smell the paper sizzle of the wallpaper almost immediately. Focus, I reminded myself. A shadow box appeared on my smartphone and I cycled to the bottom, following the directions Ken gave me. A few more folders later, I arrived at a place where I could input a command. I took a deep breath in. I trusted Dr. Kim more than I did a few days ago, but I'd also proved with David Butler that my instincts could be wrong. I hesitated, and Veronique noticed I was stalling.
If they come for us, we'll be ready,
she told me. After another breath, I keyed in the code, and a pop-up box told me it had been accepted. Feel anything different? I asked.
No,
she said. But by this point, I was already scrolling back to her main abilities list. I found her metal absorption and modification skill, and saw that an option had been added. Main, metal absorption and modification. Wielding capacity, 5. Adaption speed, 6. Alloy integrity, 4. Blood metal conversion, 6. Blood metal absorption proximity, 10. It's at 10 now? I moved a few steps away. Her head turned to me, the muscles in her neck quivering slightly. Try from here, I instructed her. She lifted her hand, and red energy swirled around it. Soon I was feeling that increasingly familiar sensation of weakness in my knees. It works, I said, gasping as she let go. She unplugged the cable and sat up, a smug smile on her face.
This is what Grace's holding area looks like,
Dorian said. I glanced over to see that she'd made an entire schematic on the wall next to her mandala. How did you...